Welcome to the world of Michael Zavala.
Hello.
Zavala.
Celebrating 15 years of MC.
Okay, yeah.
Now's your chance to turn back.
You're listening to MZ.
This is MZ Now.
Only three more shows left in the year, so we're setting the bar real low. No one's doing any sort of prep.
Do we even have a bar?
We're calling it in. We're phoning in the last three shows of the year. Just going to be honest with you. Except for maybe the last show, which will be the Christmas show.
Possibly.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to load up. I knew I forgot something.
Again?
I forgot to load up this clip.
Again. Oh, is this something that's... It's like you're looking at me. Why do I sound weird?
Well, because you have this...
Because your voice is f***ed up.
Yeah, it's like you got COVID or something. Do you have COVID?
No, I've been talking a lot.
Maybe it's the sweater, bro.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Clark came in. You know, he always complains about not having any money. He can't go out and do anything. He bought an $80 Clark Griswold sweater.
It's a Cosby sweater.
Yeah, it's a very Cosby-ish sweater.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, it looks good, though. I like it.
It's holiday.
Yeah.
Two bears on it for all his bear friends.
Yes. Yes, yes. I almost got one of two reindeer but
well, how much was that?
That one was actually cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wanted to go all out.
Yeah.
Do you like it when people ask you how much your sweater costs and you're like, oh, it's $80 actually?
No, because like where I work, like $80 sweaters are probably looked down on.
Yeah.
With their
1200. So you're trying to like fit in with that group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or at least project myself.
The wish version of that group.
Right, right. Right, absolutely.
Oh, you're assimilating into the group, is what you're saying.
No, because to assimilate, you got to pay a price.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any money.
Oh, sure you pay them somewhere, Clarkus.
So filling in for Eric Starr today is Joey, Cosmo Joe, that's right, Cosmo Joe.
Yes, changes right. All the time, yeah. By the way.
Eric decided that he was going to go out of town to Florida, create a new variant.
All right.
And, He told me like last minute because we were going to work on the Christmas show plans because I didn't really have anything planned. Sometimes I have a vague idea of what the Christmas show should be and then I like to hammer out the details. Well, I don't have any idea what the Christmas show should be. I was going to meet up with Eric and because we worked on some ideas a few weeks ago. And so I thought we would, you know, kind of narrow it down and then we'd pitch it to you guys. And then so I said, hey, do you want to meet up for dinner tomorrow night? So we can go over some ideas. And he goes, oh, I'm in Florida. Oh, well, when are you going to tell us that? Are you going to be here for the show on Sunday? No. I won't be in time for the show. Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know.
So we're doing a gay rant?
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh.
Straight rant.
Ooh. Straight Ooh. Rant.
And, I think that's just a rant.
Cosmo Joe is wearing these Mars shoes. Tell us about those shoes.
Oh, well, yeah, it's Mars. There's actual Mars on the shoe. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like the surface of Mars. And if you take a picture of it, it distorts the photo.
Yeah, it's all weird looking.
Yeah.
So we can't post them.
Yeah, I can't post them.
I mean, you could, but it wouldn't look, it doesn't look like
it's the surface of Mars on my shoe.
Are you confused?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Clark's probably like, these are probably $20 shoes.
No, it's the wording and how you say it. It's the so it looks like the surface of Mars. Or it's the actual surface.
Do you want me to show you Mars? Here, I'll take the shoe off.
He literally killed Marvin the Martian and took his shoes.
There's the shoe. See? It's Mars. Surface of Mars.
Not the candy Mars.
Look at the inside even. There's Mars in there. Yeah, not candy, man. Like the surface.
You know? Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It's the surface of Mars.
I don't know, man. I was bored. I got them a long time ago.
No, I like it.
You know,
yeah, they're awesome.
Pretty I'm not a sneaker guy, but I would wear those.
I don't think I ever could be sneaker or sneakerhead.
I would be, but my feet are square.
No, I just like what I like, man.
You have a lot of shoes, though.
I would say that. Yeah, I dig shoes.
Yeah.
Have you always been into shoes or was it something you got into?
When you got money.
When you got money.
No, I mean, I was always into it, but yeah, money helped. It all started from the sports because that was the only thing my parents would actually spend money on was
yeah.
My athletic
Me too.
My athletic shoes. So
yeah, me too.
So I always, you know.
What sport did you play, Mike?
Soccer. No. I'm Mexican.
Anyway.
I was number five, and we played on the Little Rascals, what our team was.
Little Rascals.
Oh. Yeah, I mean.
Little Rascals.
Little Rascals.
We were the.
First time I ever got groped.
we were the Leprechauns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got groped by a teammate, by the way, not a coach or anything. Yeah,
that's
it was another boy who liked to tap other guys junk.
I was hoping it was the ref.
No.
One of the soccer moms.
I don't even think the coach knew I was on the team, to be honest with you.
Didn't get any play time.
Hey, what is the water boy doing on the field?
Yeah, my goal was to be goalie. Oh, because the goalie didn't have to do anything. That's what the coach said.
No.
I had multiple coaches.
That's the worst kind of coach ever.
Yeah, really.
Your goalie's
going to have to do probably the most key thing ever.
No, we're a bunch of five-year-olds. No one's making it into the goal. When I watched the goalie when I was five, the goalie would just sit there. He didn't have to run.
When I was five, we didn't have a goalie. We didn't start having goalies till six or seven, I think.
No, we had goalies on our team, and I wanted to do it because he didn't have to run or do anything. He just stood in front of the goal.
God.
And so I asked my coach, please, multiple coaches, because I was on for like three seasons, even though I hated running. I hated the physical activity. I was like, my goal is to be goalie or at least score a goal. Never was I a goalie, and never did I score a goal. The one time I almost did score a goal, I was going down the wrong side of the field. So,
that's about right.
But at the end of the season, you would all get that little participation trophy, and I put it up my little trophy shelf. And then my mom was like, "You didn't really like that, did you?" No.
We're doing it again next year.
She goes, "No, do you want to do it again next year?" And I was looking at my trophy case, and I'm like, "Well, I'm going to get another trophy at least." So, yeah. But I hated coming home like Saturday afternoons and taking those socks off, and your shin guard was engraved into your leg. That's probably what weakened my legs. We have a sponsor today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This show is sponsored by Omicron variant of the COVID-19.
All right. Cool.
Do you remember that?
What is that from?
Viacom.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I know the dude that sold Viacom. I actually worked for that fool for a while.
Viacom or Viagra?
Viacom.
Oh.
Isn't that?
His name was Scott Ginsburg. Viacom. That dude was all, he's the one that sold Viacom.
To Ted Turner?
Something like that. Yeah, it was some dude here in Dallas. He actually owns the Porsche dealership too here in Dallas. But
didn't they have the Viacom thing at the end of Inspector Gadget after it was like Deke?
Viacom.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was like the Deke logo, and then it was
it's whatever cartoons had that same kind of animation style.
And I think there was some sitcoms too. I think it was also like when they did the colorized version of Green Acres or something
Maybe.
Like that. It was at the end, right between like Green Acres and Hogan Hero.
Viacom. Channel 39.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
So anyway, that's our sponsor for today.
Sweet.
I had jury duty this week.
Oh, what?
And I was summoned. I was summoned, and in my county, just to make this more interesting and understand why this is such a big deal, my county is kind of a red, Trump, anti-mask.
Yeah, it's not Dallas.
County. It's the county south of Dallas. I read the summons, and it says to go to the convention center in town. So I'm like, what's wrong with the courthouses? What's going on? Maybe they're doing construction or whatever. So I'm like, am I reading this right? I got to go to the convention center. So I go to the convention center early in the morning, and there's about 300 people there. And they pack us in these rooms and these long lines, and we finally get through. And as soon as I get into the building, I realize none of the police officers, none of the judges, none of the people there are wearing masks at all. I'm probably one of maybe 20 people, and that might be generous, that's wearing a mask. We get into this room, and the judge gets up, because we're probably wondering why we're all meeting at the convention center. And he goes, it's because of COVID. We can't spread out in the courthouse. So we're doing our part to keep everyone safe. Again, no one's wearing a mask. They don't refuse entry to anybody not wearing a mask. So I'm like, how exactly are you keeping people safe by just putting us a few inches apart from each other? Somebody might have the variant. And, it might be right sitting right next to me. Now I'm getting it. Then they break us. They start eliminating people. It's like Survivor. First round gets out. If you're old, get out of here. You're crazy, get out of here. And, they're just telling people to leave. And so they kind of thin the herd a little bit. And then they start breaking us down even more to different rooms within the convention center. So I'm thinking I may not get picked, but now I'm in this room and they're telling me about this case and it's a DWI case. And I'm like, are you kidding me? At least give me a good case. You know what I mean? Like, give me something that they're going to make a Netflix documentary about in 5 years. No,
you don't want a good case.
Yeah, I want a really good case that says, no, that no. goes on for months.
You really don't, dude. Really don't
I want to be on the this. Netflix documentary.
You know, dude.
And then I say something like,
you want to see some...
I really like, thought he was innocent until they that final day when the prosecution brought in
do
that...
Do you really want to like have to look at a video of an act of crime or watch a video of
I'm talking about
a
like
minor getting molested?
No, I'm talking about like an embezzlement or something. Not like that. Oh.
I thought you were really talking big time.
No, no, no. I'm talking about like the murder. A Cecil Hotel type situation. Oh, someone disappeared at Motel 6 and we found him on the roof and he's dead. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's not a case.
I want that case.
Well, that's not a case.
It'd be a suing, you know, the family suing the Motel 6 for not checking the roof. And then they'd make a Netflix documentary, the disappearance at La Quinta. And then they talk to me and I'm real serious about it. Oh, yeah, I really thought there was nothing to hide there. Or I thought that person was crazy. And then... everything changed, and then they cut to the next section where the prosecution brings in this new piece of evidence, you know? That's what I wanted. A DWI case? What do you need me for? What did he blow? What was his blood test? Is it over the limit? There you go. Case closed. We can solve this in 30 seconds. I guarantee you, just by looking at the guy, I knew he was guilty. He fit the profile of a drunk driver in that county. You know, the button-up shirt, pearl snap, clean-cut, Wranglers. You know he had a good time at the Chili's.
He's driving a truck.
Got driving a truck. I feel like I've even met this guy before. I might have even bought him the shot, to be honest with you. The lady comes up and, you know, they're trying. Some people are just trying to get out of jury. They're trying their hardest to get out of this thing. And so they go through to figure out if you know anybody on the prosecution or the defense or the judge. And they say, anybody know anybody up here? And two people raise their hand. And yes, sir. Yes. Do you know anybody up here? Well, I played golf with the judge one time. Okay, did you actually, so you know the judge? No. I mean, he was there at the golf tournament. Okay, so is that going to affect your judgment at all if you're picked as a jury for this case? I don't think so. Okay. And so they go to the next lady. My friend is very good friends with the judge. Okay, ma'am, do you know the judge? No, I've never met him. Is this going to affect your judgment whatsoever that your friend happens to be friends with the judge? I don't know. I've never been in this situation. What do you mean you've never been in this situation?
Were you trying to get out of it?
Good question there, Clark. I dressed the part, but I also wanted to look like the guy that showed up and was doing a civic duty, but we don't really trust this guy enough to put him on the jury.
Oh, so you wore your brunch fit?
No. I dressed appropriately.
You should have wore your brunch fit.
I should have.
The brunch fit? What is this brunch fit?
Have you not
fit?
Seen his Gilmore Girls
outfit?
I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll show you during the break.
Joey's not a social media guy. He would have seen that.
Yeah, it's my Blossom outfit.
Yeah. His Caroline in the City or Sex in the City
yeah.
outfit.
Dun, 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 you hear the Sex in the City theme song play as I put it on. But I wore a mask, which instantly made me look like a weirdo. And I didn't take my sunglasses off the entire time. So that also, people are like, oh, something's wrong with this guy. And then I didn't fix my hair at all, so it was just very disheveled and Doc Brown look. And then I held a Whataburger cup that was empty the entire time, just everywhere we went.
It should have been Starbucks to freak him out a little bit.
Yeah.
All you're missing is the stinky part.
I've always heard that if you want to get out of jury duty, you say you're one of two things. Either you're a racist or you hate lawyers.
I mean,
they asked that. Do you trust the government?
No.
That's what that one lady said that her friend knew the judge.
I would have said, yeah, I trust the government to screw everything up. What does that do for you?
And that's pretty much what people were trying to do to get out of it.
Then they just say, yep, I like this one.
Yeah. Anybody in here think the guy's automatically guilty? Everyone raises their hand because, I mean, of course he looks like the guy that would drink and drive.
Everybody in that convention center.
I know. I partied with that guy.
that guy stiffed me $20 on some blow we were supposed to buy.
So, so the
gotta remember where we're at, man.
The DA's office comes up and they're like, all right, do you guys believe in medical science? If we took his blood and it said, you know, that there was something, you know, that he was over the limit, are you going to take that as evidence or are you going to dismiss it? Do you have a problem with that? Do you need to have third party verification? Of course, the one guy that looks like a conspiracy theorist in the group raises his hand. I'm going to need third party verification. Okay, sir, we already probably figured that out, but just by looking at you. Anybody else have any problem with medical science? I'm looking around the room. I'm one of two people now wearing a mask. So I'm thinking everyone's got a problem with medical science except for me and the other person wearing a mask. And everyone raised their hand like they have no problem. Oh, no, we'll trust anything the medical science community tells us. Bitches, you aren't wearing masks! How in the world are you going to trust a alcohol blood report and you can't even trust the CDC when they say, put a mask on because that helps prevent COVID from spreading?
Monica.
They sent us all out, dismissed some people, and they would bring us back in. And then would send us out again, dismissing people. And it was just like a sifting process.
So where was your head at this point? Were you like, damn, I'm definitely getting picked?
Well, I was the most sane person there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would probably, out of all those people, have been the sanest person, even though I look like I wasn't the sanest person. So I'm like, yeah, I'm probably getting picked for a DWI case. Can't even be a cool case. But I realized that every time we were going back in, I was getting further and further to the back of the room. Like, they kept putting me last. And at the very end of everything, I'm the very last person sitting there on the run. I thought they were just going by alphabetical order. No, apparently, they put people front that they want to be on the jury. And they only talk to those people in the first couple of rows. And the people further to the back are the ones that are like, eh, we're just keeping here just in case we need somebody else. They're like the fill-ins, right?
Nice.
So I was way in the back. Apparently, my Whataburger and sunglasses and disheveled look worked. So then the judge finally brings us all back in. And he goes, all right. Here are the names of the people that are getting picked for this case. He picks out, you know, four people, six people, whatever. And he goes, in a case like this, we have to have, I know you guys probably thought this was a waste of time, but we got to have people in here just in case we can't use the first, you know, 10 people or whatever. We have extras that we have to go to. Sometimes, he goes, in some cases, we have to go all the way to the back of the line. Thank God we didn't have to do that today. He's talking about me. So I'm like, well, what's wrong with me? So now I'm relieved that I don't have jury duty. But now the judge is like, we almost had to pick this guy. Thank God we didn't.
You should write that down, man, for future people that, you know, want to get out of the situation. Sounds like you scored.
Yeah. And still, I'm a true patriot, an American, because I showed up for my civic duty.
I mean, the disheveled and the sunglasses, that was right on. Like, that's why I brought up the stink earlier. Like, you know. You throw, make yourself a little unpleasant.
It's like
people don't want you around. You know?
Right.
It's like when he walks up, he's like, I'm a little country and I'm a little rock and roll.
Exactly.
That's the shirt I was wearing, actually.
That's awesome.
You know what I, no, I did actually, I had a sweater on and under the sweater, I had an NWA t-shirt. Oh, it's getting hot in here because that was going to be my last defense to get myself out of it. Boy, it's getting hot in here. Let me just take the sweater off real quick. It was really cold in there, but I would have still pulled it off. And it was a big NWA shirt. So.
That would have went over real well.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my week. Clark had his best sales ever
in the restaurant
industry.
What? Yes. Yeah. So I think I pretty much had a career week this week, but it's really
This is something for the LinkedIn profile. This is something for your to add to your Indeed resume.
Not really, man.
Oh.
I mean, it's just one of those things that, like, I can look at the total dollar amount that I made, and this would have been Friday nights, so two nights ago. I can look at that, and I can very comfortably say, this is the most money I've ever made in one night.
Now, do you want to say it on the air so that way, for tax purposes and things?
Well, I've already declared it, so it doesn't matter.
Would you just walk outside? I declare! That's Steve Carell.
No, I made $1,234.
That's nice. In one night?
In one night.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to get naked.
That's
or
stripper
nothing?
Money.
Yeah. And here's the weird part. So it was supposed to be a party for.
Here's the weird part.
This is the great part. It's supposed to be a party for 130 people. Only 65 showed up. So we were already way overstaffed for this party. And I basically just bust tables and ran drinks. I didn't even really do anything, and I made, like, seriously, I did nothing. It was funny, like, everybody was kind of laughing about it, and I was just like, yeah, there's really nothing for me to do, because we have some really nice attractive girls that work with us, and the host and his wife were just all about them and her, and so it was just like, yo, just let him schmooze them, just let him go. And I just kind of stayed in the background and just kind of walked around and worked the room and just did very ancillary tasks. So, and then also there was a local media celebrity there.
Top five in the world, you think? Or at least in the region?
Okay, I'll say this. In North Texas, if you want to talk about, like, news
All right.
If you want to talk about like the news segment, just nothing but news. If you took every news media outlet, whether it's internet, terrestrial,
okay,
whatever, cable, take them all. If you're able to put a news program out there, take them all. I bet you this guy is top 10.
Are we guessing who it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dale Hansen.
No.
Mark
but
Cuban.
But that's kind of a good guess, but not the right. No, he's not news. He's.
Oh, he works for the news.
Yeah, he's in actual.
John McKay.
No. Oh. I'm talking like in the nation. Because nobody in Wisconsin is going to know who John McKay is.
Okay, so he's.
Somebody in Wisconsin might know who Dale Hansen is.
Anderson Cooper.
See, you're getting really good, but you're on the opposite side.
Which is the one that just got fired from CNN?
Cuomo?
No.
Nomo?
No.
Nomo.
All right, I'll give you a hint. He's a conservative news pundit.
Alex Jones?
No.
Oh.
He, you say?
Yes, he.
Okay.
That's why I gave you two hints.
Yeah.
I'll give you a third hint.
Okay. First initial.
No. Oh. He used to work for Fox News.
Used to?
Yeah.
Old guy.
Yeah.
He got fired.
Did he get fired or did he quit? I
know. But it was a Me Too.
No, not Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, that's who I was going for.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Man, you guys might actually not know him.
Shepard.
No.
Worked for Fox News.
Well, probably about 8, 9,
Let me,
10
can
years
I
ago.
Can I phone a friend?
Yeah.
Let me phone my grandparents real quick.
Nice.
So now he left Fox News and now he does his own like conservative Christian news network where it's
Donald
like,
Trump.
It's all internet based, essentially. It's nothing like this. He doesn't have like a channel on satellite, but it's all internet based.
It's not like Ben Shapiro or something.
No,
like that.
But see, you're on the right track with that.
Paul Rubens.
No.
Pee-wee. Pee-wee Herman.
Hey, it's like Eric hasn't left.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. Eric left. Here's what I say every show. He gave notes to
just say,
Joe.
Yeah, just say something about Pee-wee.
Right.
I didn't even know that, see?
Yeah. Yeah. You're getting the vibes. The
yeah,
Eric
you're
vibes
channeling Eric. Yeah.
You're channeling Eric right
it
now.
It must be in his
Cheezers.
Chair.
Yeah. No, let's not channel her. I don't know who else to guess.
I think she's been channeled enough.
I feel like there's one more.
Whoa.
I feel like there's one more guy that I'm not thinking of right now. That's a Ben Shapiro type.
Yeah, I older guy, Ben Shapiro type.
Oh, he's older.
Rush Limbaugh.
No,
he's dead. That was my first guess too, actually.
Zombie Rush Limbaugh was there. I had to put a shotgun.
Obama. Who's the guy that you brought him up the other day?
No, not Crowder.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Not Crowder.
What about Kyle Rittenhouse?
Nope.
Oh.
Okay, so I'll just say it.
Yeah.
It was Glenn Beck.
Oh yeah. I could have guessed Glenn Beck.
Wait, Beck's dead?
Glenn Beck.
Oh, Glenn Beck. Sorry.
Glenn Beck.
Sorry.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's kind of, I was thinking Bill O'Reilly, but.
Yeah,
no,
same,
I mean, you're
same
right.
kind of thing.
You're right.
Yeah, same guy,
I forgot about
basically.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, didn't he write a book and then disappeared?
No, yeah. I mean, I'll you know, just full disclosure, yeah, I used to be in the more of the conservative side of news. Yeah.
Look at
that.
The shock of going across this room.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even watch news anymore, and that actually makes me a much happier person.
Although we can't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was actually really nice to me. Didn't
I've heard he,
didn't,
I've heard he's a really
he
nice
didn't,
guy.
He didn't have anything to drink, and was so funny. So he basically heads the company that took over the spot, and everybody was just kind of like playing by the rules, like had a drink or two, and then all of a sudden he leaves, and then they just get wild.
Yeah.
And so
he lives here, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. His studio. That's what I'm saying. His studio, like that, he does his
is
stuff
in
for,
like that.
That was their holiday party.
I see. I got you. Yeah, they're so, in the your area.
Yeah. So they had a $10,000 minimum.
Yeah.
Which would have been a $2,000 tip for us. We had our host, our waitress, uh-huh. kind of schmooze the guy that booked the party.
Yeah.
So he agreed to double the grat, and we're like, score. Like, everybody just kind of flipped out of that point.
Yeah.
And so, like, as time is winding down, like, they're still all over Jordan. Jordan's great. Jordan's great for doing this for us. And the guys, just being copacetic.
When you say copacetic, what do you mean here?
I mean being a good server.
What does being a good server entail?
It means bringing drinks and working the room.
Oh, just doing your job.
And hanging, yeah.
Yeah, so what is she? So she's good at just doing the basic means of her job, or is she doing?
No, she goes above and beyond.
And that's what we're getting at. What is the above and beyond, I think?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Is she Glynis Beck?
No, no.
Okay.
So, anyways.
I don't even know what that means.
It's
good, though. But then an Urban Dictionary spider.
Glynis
Beck.
What is a Glynis Beck?
Yeah, what does it mean when they Glynis their Beck?
So as we're like kind of winding down, the host then calls, like he's talking to me. He's like, hey, has Jordan handled that bill yet? And I was like, I'm not sure. I'll send her over. And I sent her over. It's like, hey, go talk to the host again. We thought he was going to take away the double grat. And he just says to her, he's like, hey, Jordan, whatever the grat total is at now, he's like, go ahead and add another $2,000 to it.
Wow.
So like for this party, it was like $7,500 for us.
That's pretty good.
So, dude, it was.
How did anybody, how'd the party end?
They left.
Ooh.
Me and a few of the servers, like, poured a couple of bottles of wine. And we closed that bitch down, and that's why I got home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Last night?
No, that was Saturday.
You're still recovering. You're recovering.
No, because like I had to do a party last night.
So you sure you don't have COVID? You just spent the whole weekend with a bunch of conservative no maskers.
That's very true.
You probably do
actually,
have that
actually
Omicron
no, so
variant.
Like, so like these people, when I would try to do something for them, serve them, they would ignore me.
Well, yeah, you're right.
I think some of them thought that like I was actually a part
of
the company.
Yeah, you're wearing that sweater.
Oh, dude, I was.
They thought you're part of the little country club.
I'm gonna show you some pictures of what I wore. But like I bet you they thought I was the late night IT guy that works overnight.
Yeah,
that they never see. That's not like doing maintenance on their computers and stuff.
Right.
Like is that Bill? Is that the guy that told me
you're
that?
Like, hey, can I get you something else? No, Bill, sit down. Enjoy yourself. You work too hard for us. You're the one that keeps our MySpace up and running.
Our GeoCities.
Yeah. You've been keeping that top 8 in rotation.
So Glynis Beck is an Urban Dictionary.
Oh, nice.
The Glynis Beck is the art of having your ass handed to you, usually in a verbal manner.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So she could have Glynis his Beck.
She Glynis his Beck.
Wow. That
studio's right down the street, too.
From us?
Yeah, it's in Las Galinas.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We're right back.
This is MZ Now. Online at mznow.tv.
Call me on the phone, MZLIVE5 all day. Call me on the phone, AAA. 3-8. MZLIVE5 all day. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone.
It started out like any other day.
Hey, Michael, come ride the scooter with us.
Until everything changed.
Oh, my God. Somebody call 911. Help. Somebody help.
Zavala was in Deep Ellum on Labor Day. He and a friend hopped on scooters headed toward downtown when he hit a manhole cover. For Michael, his first scooter ride was his last.
Well, we were able to save the leg. But there were some interesting side effects.
Based on a true story.
What's happening, homie? Where that money at, boo? You my neighborhood.
He's up there, killer. I don't want any trouble.
Leave that man alone.
What the hell?
Did you just block that bullet with your leg?
I guess I did. Why is Samuel L. Jackson calling me?
Iron Leg Man. The Last Avenger. Coming this summer.
Michael's a... How do you say this again?
Test. When my name come up, respect it.
Navala.
Michael Zavella.
Stop playing with my name.
Zavala.
You listening to MZ. MZ.
Michael Zavala.
I ain't gonna say it no more. No more.
This is Kevin Costner, and I'm listening to Michael Zavala, or you're listening.
This is MZ Now.
Do you want you're listening to Michael Zavala?
Online at mznow.tv.
Okay, all right. I'm Kevin Costner, and you're listening to Michael Zavala.
I hope everyone enjoyed our twerkathon we did last week in celebration of Twerksgiving. I think we're gonna do more of those little like kind of week marathons. I think we're gonna do we're gonna replay some Christmas specials the week of Christmas along with the new one for this year. I think we're gonna do a Twerkmas. We're gonna do the one where Bobby wishes he was never on the show. And then I think we're gonna do what was it? Toys for Thoughts.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do that one again. I re-listened to a couple of those, and I'm like, these are really, really good. You don't really know how good something is until you listen to it years later.
So you let it marinate?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is actually really funny.
Nice.
Especially like right when you're doing it, when you're right in the middle of it, there's so much chaos going on. And half the time these shows, we started late because we're waiting for so-and-so. And you know, you have to let time pass so you get past that anxiety of listening to it before you can listen to it for what it really
like
is.
All the technical things that no one ever sees.
Yeah.
That stress us the fuck out.
Right. So once you get past that and you forget about that, then you can enjoy the show for what it really is. And we had some really good stuff. So we did Twerkathon last week. And in a few weeks, the week of Christmas, we'll do some sort of Christmas special marathon. Clark and I watched 8-Bit Christmas. Anybody else watch that?
Nope.
Nope.
All right.
It was great.
Yes.
Loved it.
Totally agree.
I'm going to compare that to the new Home Alone.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even know that happened.
How many Home Alones are there?
This one, I think it's 4 or 5.
There's only 2 true ones.
There's only 2 true ones. The other ones are imposters. Yeah. And this new one was supposed to be kind of like in the same HACU.
Is this like when they did the new Vacation movie and it had like a new vacation family? It's like Rusty Griswold.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about this new Home Alone is Buzz McAllister, who was on the show a couple of years ago,
right?
He's in the movie,
okay,
as Buzz McAllister, not like a new character,
okay.
So it kind of connects. And at one point, you know, they call the police and say, "Hey, there's a kid that's home alone. The family left him." And Buzz, the police officer, is supposed to be dispatched to this house, and he's like, "This happened to me. It's a prank. This happened to me when I was a kid. You know, it's that kind of thing." So that was the only cool part.
Okay,
the movie itself is so bad. There's so much going on. It goes by so fast that you don't even have time to really like root for anybody.
Is it like a made for TV?
It feels like that, but it's a Disney Plus exclusive.
Okay. See, I thought I saw that. All right.
So I would avoid it at all costs unless you just want something in the background that's just Christmassy.
Okay.
That's kind of what I did when I watched it. But 8-Bit Christmas.
Fantastic.
Fantastic movie. It is a Christmas classic already.
I was a little...
throw this in your rotation.
I was a little reserved at first because like when I saw previews for it and I saw Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Neil Patrick Harris fan.
I mean, it's...
Oh, Doogie?
Well, the thing is like he pretty much played the same kind of characters since White Castle.
Right. And he kind of burnt me out on his stuff because of... what was that?
You know what it was?
Unfortunate Events, Lemony Snicket.
He had the same career as Bob Saget. Nah, just follow me on this. Like he had kind of like his TV characterization, and then like basically he just did
public
a total
persona.
Yeah, he did a total 180.
Metamorphosis.
And now he's just kind of like I wouldn't call him like a shock comic like Saget, but it was just kind of like a holy shit. Every time he saw him, it was like, what the hell has gotten into Doogie Howser? You know, like what the hell has gotten into Danny Tanner?
Yeah.
But in this one. So like I was sitting there thinking like this is gonna have like a like it's gonna have like a Harold and Kumar feel to it. Like it's eventually gonna take on like that holiday party movie.
Office
Christmas party. Yeah. It's gonna go that route.
Yeah.
It's gonna get R-rated and because I didn't even look at the rating.
Yeah.
And then as I started watching it, I was like about 30 minutes into it, I'm like, this is actually kind of wholesome.
Yeah.
This is pretty much nostalgic.
It is.
And it didn't get lewd, it didn't get blue. And I mean, and I know that sounds like, well, okay, does that really matter for a Christmas movie? And I'm like, well, it kind of gives it a little
I'm not a big fan of dirty Christmas movies.
Yeah,
it feels like an oxymoron to me.
A lot of people love Bad Santa, and I just watch it. And I just I don't do it. I can't do it.
Call me crazy, but I like good Santa. You know, yeah.
I don't know, dude.
But it gives a wholesome element to it gives it a little bit more validation.
Yeah,
that this is a little bit more legitimate.
When I watch a Christmas movie, I want to feel good at the end of it.
Right.
I want to feel like I want to give somebody some money.
I feel like the maximum amount of craziness that you can get to is about Christmas Vacation. If you get any more than that, if you get any more than setting a Christmas tree on fire in the living room, and a squirrel running through and, you know, emptying a septic tank and blasting off of miniature reindeer into the atmosphere, anything above that, like we're just going into the absurdity. Like that's why I don't like Jingle All the Way.
That's next on my list to watch because it's on Disney Plus, I think.
But by these standards, Die Hard's not up there for you.
No,
Die Hard's a Christmas movie because it takes place during Christmas, really.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
And it kind of gets you in the Christmas spirit because you see it's kind of, you got the Christmas trees at a Christmas party. That's really it. Right. It's not a feel-good movie. I mean, I guess...
No, it is at the end.
You feel good.
I actually really do feel good every time I watch Die Hard.
Yeah, even though you know what's going to happen at the end?
I watched it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I got goosebumps again.
Did you?
I do. I don't know what it is, but like when he
gave you that good old Glenn Beck feeling.
When he wraps that hose around his waist and just says, "What the f*** are you doing, John? Jumping off a damn skyscraper?" And as he jumps, the f***ing seat, the roof explodes and he's just, and then swings and bashes up a side of the skyscraper, pushes himself back, shoots the window, crashes through.
I mean, don't spoil the movie.
Bare feet, dude.
I still haven't seen it yet.
The motherfucker is like 34 years old. 34-year-old movie. All right. That is, it's one of the greatest.
Did it come out around Christmas when it originally was released?
It was a summer. Okay. It was a summer blockbuster.
I was going to say, some movies are classified as Christmas because you watched it around, like Lord of the Rings is not a Christmas movie, but I like to watch it when it gets cold outside because that's when I first watched it when it was in theaters.
Yeah.
Same with Bloodsport.
Same with Gremlins, kind of.
I watch Bloodsport every Christmas.
Yeah.
With my brother. Okay, USA.
I think I watched Patton 1 year with my grandfather.
That's Christmas, man. Like, you know, there's some things like Big Lebowski. We always watch at Christmas.
White Christmas starts in a war.
I started watching White Christmas as I was going to sleep, and I was just like, I wanted to put something on just to watch, and I had to turn it off because I was getting hooked into it. Like it's a good movie. It is a good movie. It's a real good movie.
Crosby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You got Danny Cade.
Yeah. I've never seen White Christmas all the way through. I don't like it's too long.
It's very long.
It is long. But it's a good
Yeah, it's a classic. Yeah.
Yeah. I like watching those classics.
8-bit Christmas.
Yeah, let's go back to 8-bit.
Was really great, and at the very end it's got an M. Night Shyamalan twist to it.
Yeah.
That you're like, "Oh, I didn't see that coming."
Right.
Like you really think you got it all figured out.
Yeah.
They get divorced?
No.
No. I don't know.
The only thing clocked. That's what the gays say. The only thing that I clocked during this movie was the TV that fell is not appropriate for that time period. That's early 2000s TV.
I'd have to watch it again, but I could definitely.
Because I had that TV. That's an early to that. That wasn't around in 1988.
Okay.
I mean, I was only two.
I'd have to watch it again.
There was no dials.
Yeah, see, like, you know, in 1988, I bet you I bet you first started getting into what that design was, where you had to have the entertainment center to put the thing in.
Right.
That's when you really started to kind of start to see those.
This was like a box TV.
Because I still, when I think of 80s televisions, I still think of the wooden cabinet sitting on the floor.
These were the kind of ones that you didn't really have to, you did have to have some sort of an entertainment center that were big or something big to put it on.
Yeah.
But you still have the knobs.
Yeah, we didn't get that. We didn't get our TV like that
or the push button.
1992.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is 1988. Granted, this is supposed to be the top of the line TV at the time, but again, this is early 2000s. Yeah. This is a TV that I bought in early 2000, or it could have been late 90s, but it wasn't 1988. So I clocked that, which totally threw me out of the entire movie.
Oh, God.
Couldn't believe anything that came out of these people's mouths at that point. No, I really, this is now part of my Christmas rotation.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's the best, I think it's the best new Christmas movie I've seen in, I'm going to say like a lot, it's a long time.
Probably since we were kids, probably.
It kind of feels like that.
I mean, there's a new Christmas movie every year and I don't add those to my rotation.
Yeah.
But this is a movie I could watch every year.
Yeah, for real. Because
it's got that, not only is it nostalgic if you grew around like
real quick, do y'all know the premise of it at all?
Nope.
No. So the basic premise of it, it's they don't even really peg down the year, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's basically takes place in the late 80s. Might be like 87, 86, but it's 8-bit Christmas. It's about the original Nintendo system, NES.
And it's the biggest thing, you know.
And it's like the biggest thing. Everybody's trying to get it. And nobody can get it, and I think they tried to win a contest to get one. And it's just basically, it throws in a little bit of Stranger Things and Goonies elements into it, because it's like a group of kids, and they're all kind of working together to get this coveted thing.
Or to just play it, just get their hands on it, just to try it out, you know?
There's the caricature of the bully. That the bully was great in it.
Yeah, it really was.
Is the best, one of the best characters.
Yeah,
there was the rich kid
that had it before anybody else,
and it was like, hey, let's just, like, everybody's trying to just go and hang out with the rich kid that has it, and then they go over there. And I was laughing.
All hell breaks loose.
I was laughing my ass off how the rich kid is just sitting there playing it, and everybody's watching it.
That would have been
like,
me.
And I'm like, remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be over at like the rich kid on my baseball team's house, like a sleepover, and everybody's just playing the video game, and I'm just sitting there watching and
entertained by watching.
And then you stand up to the plate, and you're like, "All right, you haven't gotten your bearings, and like you're done because you haven't played the game yet." And it's like, "All right, pass the sticks, Clark." And I'm like, "Great, thanks, guys."
So it's like, even if you didn't grow up during the time of that, because I was, by the time I came to consciousness, there was already the Super Nintendo and the Sega out. Yeah. So, but I played the original Nintendo because...
You would definitely know. You probably have it more in your conscience than I do.
Yeah.
You probably a little bit more than me as well.
Oh, I totally remember that. But we were too broke for that. Yeah, so we went through the same thing. We all try to like get together and play each other's stuff. So. No, that's cool. I'll totally check it out.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's funny as hell.
But it's not even like, even if you grew up later on and, you know, your first console was the PlayStation or PlayStation 2,
right,
it's still nostalgic in the fact that it's like that Sandlot type group of kids, you know, that kind of movie nostalgia.
Right.
Stranger Things, you brought up, something like that. So it's a great feel. It has a great little, you get a little teary-eyed at the end, you know. It's great. It's got that great feel to it. Way better than Home Alone. Home is where my heart is, or whatever it's called.
My heart is alone at home, and I'm depressed.
Yeah. So it's way better than that. So if you have a choice, definitely 8-Bit Christmas is where we should go. I'm going to read this quick list. I think last year, didn't we talk about what our lists were for Christmas, like what our most watched or must watch Christmas list?
Yeah. Right.
So this is a list. I was going to do it again, but then I found this list because I couldn't remember if we did that or not. This is according to Screen Rant. I don't know if they took a poll or what. But it's the 10 most overrated Christmas movies. Oh, according to Reddit.
Oh, okay.
And some of these I agree with.
Okay.
Some I don't. So we'll go down the list. Number 10 is A Christmas Story. I didn't grow up watching A Christmas Story, so I totally agree with
about,
the fact
how about,
that.
How about we rate it as classic or not classic?
Okay.
Let's just do that.
For me, A Christmas Story is not a classic. It doesn't even give me Christmas vibes just because it takes place at Christmas.
Not classic.
I would say not a classic. Yeah,
I don't like that movie.
I consider
it's just a bickering family. Yeah, I have that at home.
I consider it a classic, but I mean,
You probably grew up with it, right?
Yeah.
First time I watched it was probably like 5 or 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I grew up with it.
And I was, you know, you always see the merchandise and people quote it and stuff.
Oh, I'm,
I'll take your eye out or whatever that's called.
Trust me, it's one of the Christmas movies that I'm a little bit more burnt out on.
Yeah.
But yeah, but
when I watched the first time, I expected more. I expected to feel really good, like it's a Wonderful Life type movie, and it was not that.
No. But it's I think it's great.
Number 9, Elf.
No. Elf. So I would probably say 8-Bit Christmas is probably the best Christmas movie since Elf.
That's fair. Yeah, I would agree with that too.
But I give Elf due credit for, and I call Elf a classic. Just, I watch it and I appreciate it. I think Elf would have been a great Christmas movie for me had I been seven or eight when it came out.
Yeah.
Would have been perfect.
I didn't like it. I remember seeing it in theaters.
But I was 25.
Yeah, exactly.
or whatever when it came out.
I saw it in theaters on a date and it was just a Christmas movie to go see, you know, whatever. And then after that, you're like, I've already seen it. It wasn't like anything that special. But now that there's been some time in between.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, and I do enjoy seeing it every year.
But it's, well, I don't enjoy it, though.
I consider
it a classic.
Though. I would consider it a classic, but okay, not a must-watch.
Is it overrated? Is that what this list is? Yeah, it is overrated.
Yeah, that's where I would sit, is that I like the movie, but I think, in general, people overrate that one.
Yeah.
Number 8, Miracle on 34th Street, the 1947 version.
That it's overrated?
Yeah. I don't remember really watching that all the way through, so I've gotta be out on that.
It's pretty boring.
I've seen it. Yes, it's a classic.
Boring.
Is it boring?
Yes.
Is it overrated? I would say
no,
yes.
No. Yes.
I mean,
no,
I don't know. I never saw it.
It's not overrated. It's not overrated. That's like saying Babe Ruth is overrated.
But he kind of was.
Like Babe Ruth.
The only thing he did great Babe was probably, his candy bar.
No, Babe Ruth probably couldn't play in today's MLB, but like he's not overrated for the time period.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I do consider it a classic. Is it in my yearly rotation? No.
Have you ever seen it all the way through?
Oh, yeah. Multiple times. I've seen it and the 1994.
Was Asner in the 94 one?
No, that was the guy that was in Jurassic Park.
Oh, Ed by the way, Asner, you know Asner was an elf.
Elf. Yeah. Yeah.
Number 7 was Polar Express, which I have never seen all the way through.
Never seen it.
Wasn't there a new one of those with like Tom Hanks or something?
No, that's the one.
Is that the original one?
Yeah, the computer animated one.
That's like my uncle's family number one Christmas movie.
See, I was 18 when this thing came out.
Yeah.
And I was going to go on a date to go see it with some chick. And I don't know. We never saw it. And then it's just one of those movies that comes on. And it's like, I'm always see it halfway through. And I'm like, I'm not interested.
So Tom Hanks was like the train conductor in it.
Yeah.
Creepy face. I just remember looking at like the children at Creepy Face. And I was like, nope, not.
Maybe that's why we didn't see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I just so like is it overrated?
It's like the children had the. Do you remember playing? Yeah. Do you remember playing Madden for the first time on PS2?
Yeah, when
remember the eyes were always like. It's like just
CGI freaks me out in general sometimes.
Number 6, The Muppet Christmas Carol.
I like
that. Overrated.
That movie's awesome.
I like the movie.
Muppets rule.
But the more I watch it every year, it's like part of my must watch. Especially, I have the movies I really enjoy. I put them around Christmas, and those are the ones. I watch like on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or whatever. I will say, as I've watched it every year for all these years, it is getting a little old to me.
Yeah.
But if I skipped it for a few years and came back to it would be something I would love. I mean, it's great. It's my favorite Christmas Carol version of the story.
It's like eggnog. You know how you have eggnog when you're like ugh. But then you have eggnog when you're like,
Yeah. It's like listening to Mariah Carey.
It's like eggnog.
Like you only do that song once a year.
I'll never
listen to a song again. That comes on, your foot starts tapping.
If you can give me that once a decade, I'll be good.
So I guess
eggnog or Mariah Carey?
Both.
I had some great eggnog last weekend.
What about eggnog on Mariah Carey?
I'd lick that too.
What Mariah Carey though? Current day Mariah Carey?
Oh, I think I'd have to go for 1994 Mariah Carey, personally.
It's a classic. Is it overrated? I would say no, unless you watch it every year.
I think it's overrated.
Number 5 is Love Actually. Never seen it.
Never seen it.
I've seen that movie sporadically.
Who's in that?
Dude, everybody's in it.
Rick Grimes.
Liam Neeson, Hugh Grant.
I don't think I've seen it.
It's a Christmas movie?
It's like a romantic.
It's a Christmas movie. It's almost like the romance version of Die. It's the romance movie, like how Die Hard is the action Christmas action movie. It's like the romance movie of Christmas.
It's a high budget Hallmark movie.
But it's definitely probably more Christmas centric than Die Hard. But yeah, it's a Christmas movie. So you remember how they like came out with like New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day, like all these movies where it was like a romantic movie based around the holiday.
Yeah.
They were all trying to recreate like what love actually was. So yeah.
Didn't see it.
No.
Number four, Christmas Vacation. I 100% I think that's overrated. I think it's overrated. I didn't grow up with that movie either. That's another movie I didn't watch when I was a kid.
No, it is. It's perfect.
It's a classic.
I think it's just kind of like what you're talking about with
it's
Muppet.
Nostalgia.
Like I'll watch it. Maybe
yeah, you can't see
year.
It every year.
Okay.
Yeah, at this point. But then again, though,
it's still fun.
But then again,
it's
like,
tradition. You kind of have to.
There's sometimes where it's like you'll watch it one time, you laugh your ass off, and then you come back and watch it again like 2 days later.
Yeah, it's a classic. Oh. It's a classic.
I definitely have it on my. I definitely bought it on Apple iTunes.
Spider, you have an opinion on that? Overrated or not overrated?
No, I don't think so. It's probably rated just about right.
Number three, Home Alone.
Which one?
The first one. I completely disagree with that. I think it's definitely not overrated. That's a movie I could watch over and over and over.
I think Home Alone's a top five Christmas movie.
Absolutely, it's a must.
Without a doubt.
And
I don't think I can watch it every. I don't think I need to watch it every year.
No,
but it's quotable.
It's quotable, but when you watch it, you feel like Christmas. Yeah. Like you feel good.
Absolutely.
The music, the John Williams score.
Absolutely,
the polka.
The polka, the John Candy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a Christmas classic.
The off-work Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of John Candy, what about Uncle Buck?
It's not a Christmas movie.
What?
Thanksgiving.
No, that's
Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Thanksgiving. No, if you watch closely, Uncle Buck takes place, or I don't know if they intended it for it to happen, but like when you watch it, it looks like fall time. But when they're walking around, I think it's Winnetka, with part of Chicago. That takes place in when they're walking around, there's like a shop. You can see they have like a St. Patrick's Day decorations on a store.
I thought it was Christmas.
So no, because I think what you're supposed to think is that it's later in the school year, but not like spring. I don't know, man.
Number two is Four Christmases in 2008. Never saw it. I know a lot of people that movie was super hot at that time.
That was what? Number four?
Number two. Four Christmases is the
that
name
it's
of the
overrated.
Movie.
I've saw it. I thought it was somewhat funny.
I'm gonna watch it just because Vince Vaughn's in it. I love Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, and I think it has Jon Favreau
and
in it too, and Reese Witherspoon.
Jack Black is in it too, right?
No, you're thinking of the Holiday.
The Holiday. That's Vince Vaughn and Jack Black.
No, that's Jack Black and
Jack
Clive
White.
Owen.
Oh,
and Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet.
So
and I've never seen that movie either.
Four Christmases, anybody? I never watched it, like
so
I said. So is it overrated?
I've never seen it. I enjoyed it.
Well, you're Mr. Christmas over here. Yeah, you've seen every Christmas movie on this list.
Yeah, that one's where like they're a couple, but the couple has divorced parents, and so they have to go to four different Christmases, and it's like navigating the dynamics of every
Sounds
Christmas.
Terrible.
It is overrated.
I don't want to go to one Christmas.
Actually, if that movie is not overrated because people generally rate that movie as being bad. So I don't know why it's even on the list.
What's
number one?
Number one is Eight Crazy Nights. I definitely think that movie's overrated. I never saw it.
Never even heard of it.
It's
overrated.
Adam Sandler's animated.
Yeah.
And I love Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Eight Crazy Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that should have stayed in the song. I don't think that.
Yeah, they didn't make a whole movie out of it.
Right.
They didn't make a lunch lady movie.
Right.
Didn't make
they should have.
Didn't make a beating of a Spanish teacher movie.
What was the goat one?
Mr. Goat. I threw a center block and he chipped my horn or whatever he says.
Did you guys see the Iron Leg Man poster in the hallway?
Fantastic. I didn't see it in the hallway because I just walked in, but I saw a picture of it.
Yeah, it's great.
Good job.
I didn't do it.
You didn't?
No, we had an artist do it.
Oh, who? Yeah. Was it this guy?
No, like a digital artist. He's like a hands-on artist. He actually uses his hands.
He's a handsy artist.
He's a handsy. No, there's a digital artist in some Indonesia or somewhere did that.
Oh.
So yeah, it came out really nice. Yeah. If you've got your Spotify Rewind up, anybody use Spotify other than me and Spider?
I don't.
All right.
I got Spotify.
You've got your Rewind, let's go to your top. People post it on Instagram, but since we have an audio platform, we're just going to do it here. Just going to shove it down people's ears.
Yeah, it felt pretty accurate this year. I know I've complained about it in the past.
So I spent 16.216 minutes listening to music. So I don't know what that means. Does that mean like every day?
What? Like, how much?
16.216 minutes.
Probably.
So 16 minutes a day? That sounds about right. If you were to average it out for the year? Can anyone guess my number one song of the year? It's been played a lot recently here in the studio. Spider's even mentioned it.
The number one.
Dancing in the Moonlight.
Dancing in the Moonlight by The Muppets, which is crazy because...
It's not by The Muppets.
No, it's their version
it's
of
by
it.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric
Mayhem.
Yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the name.
It was from their Halloween special. I was watching that on the plane when we were going to New York. And the song was just, their version of the song was stuck in my head the entire trip. And then I just kept listening to it on repeat over and over and over again. Like one day, I listened to it nonstop all day. More than 16 minutes, thank you. Whoever's doing Dr. Teeth now is nailing it, by the way. That sounds like Jim.
Because a talking voice and a singing voice is really hard to pull off in one character.
Well, for years, they didn't have a good Dr. Teeth guy. And now this guy sounds just like Dr. Teeth. And then number two, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, was a Drake song. But the only reason why I listened to it was because it had Project Pat in it. And it's Knife Talk off his new album.
It's a decent song.
And then number three was Just Don't Give a F by Eminem.
Not going to play any of that.
No. Everybody knows these songs.
Actually, I don't. But I don't listen to really music anymore.
Well, I mean, this is back in old school days.
I mean, I do. But.
Top genre. Can you guess my top genre?
Rap.
Specifically, gangster rap.
Oh, okay.
And then if you go down, rap takes up like three out of the five categories here. My top artist. Can anybody guess my top artist? You will never guess. It's been Eminem for the past, I don't know how many years, but he didn't release an album this year, so he wasn't on repeat.
Hmm. I'm going to go with Lil Nas X.
Okay.
Ice Cube.
Okay. Joe, you got a guess?
Your top artist?
Yeah, not Hanson.
Not Hanson?
Right.
Not Dale Hanson.
Dale Hanson is correct.
Tupac.
Cowboys won 7-9. No, my top artist was...
That's actually a pretty good Dale.
Thank you. I've done a Dale impression for a little bit, but it's hard to really use.
That's actually really good.
It's hard to use in real life circumstances.
What are you walking out?
My top artist was this rapper, this female rapper named Tay Money. And the only reason why I know about Tay Money, apparently she's a big deal, but I actually saw her. I was at a pool party a few months ago in Dallas, and then the DJ stops the music and he's like, there was like a birthday party going on, and this little girl looks like Paula Abdul. I say little girl, she was just like 25 or 30 or whatever. She looks like Paula Abdul. Gets up on the this little fountain thing and starts rapping for this person's birthday, or maybe it was her birthday. I don't know what was going on. A few weeks later, I'm listening to this random playlist on Spotify, and one of her songs pops up, and I'm like, oh, it actually sounds good. You know, I kind of like this. I look who it is. It's the same girl that I saw at the pool party a few weeks ago. So I start digging in her music. Her music sounds way better recorded than it does live. But so I was a big fan. So I've been listening to this all female rap playlist, and she's on there a lot. So Tay Money is pretty good, I think. So Tay Money was my top artist, followed by Erica Banks. Number three is Drake. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I'm not a Drake fan, but again, it was because of Project Pat. Number four, Eminem. And number five, this will make the gays happy, Nicki Minaj.
Does it make the gays happy?
Yeah, gays love it when straight people listen to Nicki Minaj. Had a whole conversation with a cokehead outside of a gay bar in New York about that. All right, Spider, what's your... How many minutes a day did you spend listening to music?
I can't find all that.
All right, don't worry about that then.
Number one was Dive by Victoria Monet, who's one of my favorite artists, just period. Let's play a little bit of this.
I had it muted. Very romantic.
Well, let's get to the chorus.
Oh.
Here we go. Love it. Yeah, this is one of the more chill songs of hers. But I enjoy it. All of these, really, on this list this year, pretty damn chill. Because number two is former guest in the studio, Tara Leisha, with Jealous.
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard this song.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I told her I would listen to it, and I didn't listen to it.
Well, here's your chance.
I haven't told her when we went out to eat. Yeah, listen to your music. But your heart belongs
to her. And I can give you better. She has a good voice.
Yeah, she does. Much better.
A love so special. And then,
Lee was right. Lee was saying she could really sing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Sure. Everyone says that. You know, Jackie released a song?
No. And then number three, a little bit of a departure, is Conway the Machine with Seen Everything But Jesus. This one's also with Freddie Gibbs. That's probably why it's on here.
Project Pat 2001. Death Row records.
Felt like singing, nigga. I did a lot of this and I regret. I've done a lot of things I can't take back.
I like that. Is that new?
Fairly new. I think it's from,
like, this year?
No, I think it's a couple years ago.
It's good. I like it. It's got a very old school feel to
it. Yeah. Yeah, Conway the Machine's got some good stuff.
And then those are your top songs, right? Who are your top three artists?
Is there a Conway Twitty the Machine?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Should be.
Oh. Hang on. I moved my chair and my headphones
here
get
we
caught.
Go. I found it finally. Number one. Let's do all five because this is pretty funny. Number one is East Coast hip hop. Number two, alternative hip hop. Number three is Dirty South Rap. Number four is Vapor Twitch.
What?
No idea what that is. And
I feel like you'd be a very Vapor Twitch-ist guy.
Let's find out what that is. I have no idea.
Okay, I'm going to get on Urban Dictionary and look up Vapor Twitch.
The last one was more hip-hop. Here we go. My top artist was 20 Sil. It's a dude that does a lot of instrumentals and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Minutes listened. 129,052 minutes.
That's a lot more than my 16 minutes. See, I don't know how it's calculating that.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, here's...
Is that by day?
Oh, no.
It doesn't say. It doesn't break it down.
It just has it in different colors. God, I hate that app.
They were going to send me a laptop. What? That has nothing to do with this.
Oh, that was an accidental push. I don't know. Look that up on Urban.
They were going to send me a laptop. Damn, dude.
They were going to send me a laptop.
That was like, that's like a year ago.
While we're on the music tip, you want to do the other thing?
Yeah, if you can do it pretty, yeah.
Yeah,
if you can
we'll do it within, do the, we'll do rap. The top 10.
All right, there you go.
Because Billboard released their Hot 100 all-time artists. So it's the artists that have charted the most on the Billboard Hot 100.
Like ever?
Ever.
Oh, nice. Ooh, this will be great.
So
okay,
let's do the
top
10.
Did we just guess them?
Yeah, let's just throw them out there.
All right.
Chulo.
Beatles.
Number one.
Okay.
Eminem.
Not on there.
No.
Oh.
Nowhere on the list.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson's number eight.
Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones is just out of the top 10, number 11.
Who's the gay guy? Piano player.
Elton John.
Number three.
There you go.
Billy Joel.
He's on here, but he's way down, I think in the 80s. Or
Led Zeppelin.
No, there he is. 27.
Oh, man. I don't think.
Zeppelin's not on there.
No, I wouldn't.
I think this is the Hot 100.
Okay,
this isn't the top rock chart, not the top. The pop chart, it's the whole...
Beach Boys.
Beach Boys is on there, but they're way, way down. We're looking for top 10.
When did this thing start? Like, years?
Oh, in the 30s, I think.
Okay.
All time, though.
Elvis. Right?
Elvis is number four.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I knew you were... Let's see.
Right now, you're missing one male artist, all the rest of them are female.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Britney Spears.
not even in the top 100.
Wow.
Do you not remember her big thing with Clear Channel back in the day?
No.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
that's
she
right.
had a big thing with Clear Channel. That's what MTV is what made her.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
She didn't get radio play. She got music video play.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because she came out during that era when they were still hot.
Like, but yeah, she had some kind of big beef. With
Whitney Clear Houston Channel
is on here at number 9.
Wow.
Madonna.
Madonna is number 2.
Wow.
Okay. Mariah Carey
is number 5.
That's all the bands there are. There are no other bands. Nope,
there's one more.
It's impossible.
It's a female, right?
It's not someone that any
Stevie
of y'all
Nicks.
Will
These
guess.
People are stupid.
Oh, not okay. Stevie hold Nicks. On. Hold on. Hold
Patsy
on.
Klein.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. There's one more.
There's only two teams that play.
There's two left.
Is it a female or is it a male?
One male, one female.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Nope.
No. Okay.
It's only the Cowboys.
I'm just going to throw this out there. John Williams.
No.
Hank Williams.
Huh. That's Garth Brooks.
Nope.
Aretha Franklin.
No, but we're getting close.
Who's the old guy that smokes weed all the time?
Diana Ross.
Willie Nelson is who you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah, not in the top 10.
Oh. Johnny Cash.
Nope.
We say Dolly Python.
Dolly Python.
Dolly Parton.
What about Monty Python?
Let me think. Hold
God. On. So we have a man and a
wait.
A
male, so we have a male at 6.
We're missing 6 and 10. And
Justin
10.
Bieber.
6 and
nope,
10.
Not on here.
6 and 10.
Bing Crosby. Mm.
No.
He didn't get a lot of radio play. I bet
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Ooh.
Is what? On here, but not in the top 10. He's way down, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
Mariah Carey?
He already guessed that.
Oh.
Tom Jones.
Nope. Think Blinder.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Wonder.
Sorry.
Stevie Wonder.
Wrong Stevie.
Oh, I forget that.
And
at
number 10 is the most current artist out of the top
Adele?
10.
Adele?
Nope.
Beyonce.
Billie nope. Eilish.
No. Nope. No.
Hadn't been around long enough.
Taylor Swift.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh. Really?
Nope.
I figured that's actually a really good.
It's R&B.
R&B? Mm-hmm. Usher.
Nope. Would have performed with Usher plenty of times, though.
Aaliyah.
Nope.
No. God, we are.
Lil Jon, Eastside Boys.
Yeah. Beyonce.
Bam, the bam, hottest. Bam, bam,
Rihanna.
The hottest one on the. There you go. Finally.
Who? Right,
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
When you said hottest, I was
number
like,
10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, Rihanna.
Why didn't I think of it? I think about her all the time, and the one time I don't think about
her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some random, yeah. random
sorry,
ones
Riri.
On here.
Beyonce didn't make the list on top 10?
No, not top 10.
Wow.
But some other random ones. At number 12 is Paul McCartney, so he's basically on there twice.
Right.
I wrote all the songs. Oh, that's John
some
Lennon.
Some other random people, Hall & Oates.
What about Jay-Z?
Drake at number 31.
Damn.
Where's Eminem?
Eminem's not on there.
What?
What about Jay-Z?
Because he's white.
Jay-Z's on here. Where is he at? There's TLC way down the list.
What about Huey Lewis?
Huey Lewis is like next to last or something.
Hell yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
What about
Jay-Z's at 88.
Damn.
What about, I bet you Aerosmith's not on there.
That's a good question.
They're just such a weird band when it
what
comes to
what about Garth
to,
Brooks?
He's got to be like on there.
Damn right.
Probably. There's Beyonce is 71.
Yeah.
Rick Astley.
Diamond.
No,
not
dude.
On, not on
you either. Mean all the times you got
you're
Rick Roll?
Okay, you're not going to get on there with two f***ing hits. You're going to get on there with, like, all the people 31. That he's naming probably have multiple greatest hits albums. All
right, then what about Hanson?
Well,
really?
Like the thing
Spice Girls.
The thing with the Hot 100 is it's so short-lived. Like, when Drake released, I think it was Scorpion, and it has 27 tracks on it. All 27 were in the Hot 100, plus two or three other songs that he had.
Yeah.
But it was just for the week that the album came out, you know? But, you know, then other ones like Old Town Road were on there for, like, damn near a year.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't... I don't know if that's the Hot 100, but, like, isn't there... What is the song by the White Stripes that's been on the top 100?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Seven Nation Army.
Like, in Britain?
Yeah.
For 21 years now.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous like that. It's like the longest charting song.
That's all the show we have for today. As you can tell, today was a show that we were just getting rid of excess material that's been on the schedule for all year.
Before we leave, can we get to this eating in the dark thing that's been on the list for what feels like 6 months?
It has been on there for
I've
6 months.
I've been curious because I don't know.
Well, there was I don't even know if it's in town anymore. That's
Okay, so I know what you're talking about.
It was a concept from L.A.
Well, so the concept actually starts with, and the reason why I know
in a third world country is where the concept originally started.
No. There is a restaurant that I believe is in Switzerland, somewhere in the Alps.
Yeah, where they don't have power or modern technology.
It's when you this restaurant is completely dark, and all the waiters in it are blind. And when you go in there, you're told that you can't look at your phone, you can't do anything.
How would they know?
Yeah, no, they're blind.
They'll never know.
Yeah, really.
No, it's not. It's not that. It's for everybody else's. But the whole thing is like you're eating in the dark so that you can have all your sense, so you're not looking at something. So you're basically completely.
So you have no idea what you're eating.
You have no idea what you're eating.
No, I think you do.
Well, they tell you,
but they take away.
But you don't know for sure.
It's the whole idea that you take away, and I don't think there's music playing in there, but you take away the sense of sight and hearing.
So you're supposed to focus on the food.
Yeah, it's supposed to enhance your taste.
And so, I think that's bullshit.
You eat with your eyes, though, man.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Look at me.
So this is a concept. That was an artistic concept that went around. I think it was traveling the country from a place. I think United States, it was in L.A. It was like some artists that started doing this. And these food that basically just eat in the dark. And people were making fun of it was because they're like, I do that all the time because I don't pay my bills. Right. So they turn the power off all the time. And I'm just eating ramen noodles in the dark.
Rich people pay premium price to do things poor people do all the time for free.
I was going to take this chick to go to this eating in the dark, and because I didn't know what it was. I thought it was actually something that was going to be exciting. But I started reading it, and I'm like, wait a minute. You can do this anywhere.
Yep.
Just buy some food, turn the lights out. Why am I going to pay, $150 for an experience that I experience whenever I want? I can just say, Alexa, turn the lights off. Bam. Cost me $0. Life hack. We could pull that off the schedule now.
Yeah. I've been curious about that one for a while.
But it was, I think it was a short-lived concept. It was just going to be here for like 6 weeks or whatever. Yeah.
Kind of like what was the pop-up recently at Whippersnapper? What was the most recent one?
I don't know about that.
Simpsons.
It Simpsons? No.
I'm going to have a pop-up that I'm popping up here pretty soon.
I'm more
eating in the light?
No, it's going to be called Little Pleasures.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm putting it out there for now. If anybody has some feelers, I'm recruiting.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm recruiting all the little people. All the little people of North Texas and all beyond. I'm going to create the most phantasmical place. We're going to call it Little Pleasures. And it's going to be for the little people of the world. You can come see all the great grand things of the world.
I love how you instantly transformed into this state fair guy. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
come see the attraction, Little smallest horse in the world.
I'm telling you, it's been in my brain for a long time, and I just had that inspiration, man. I was like, it's time.
You turned into Joel Osteen all of a sudden.
It's time to release the little pleasures.
If you could see his eyes through the sunglasses.
Yeah, he's super excited about this idea.
I think the world's ready for it,
little pleasures.
I'm going to open up. I'm going to call it a gentleman's club, a little gentleman's club, I guess.
Okay.
It's going to be, it's going to be a gentleman's club for little people.
It's like Little Bits.
Maybe. I don't know about your Little Bits. I just know about Little Pleasures, and that's where I think we're
headed. Well, he just back to you.
You stupid bitch.
You just got Glenn Beck. And with that,
this is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZ Now.